I greet you once again in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. A warm welcome to our afternoon worship. Our subject this morning, as our chairman has already announced, is remedy for spiritual decline. Or to put it another way, recovery from spiritual low. It is an undeniable fact that Christian believers, from time to time, go through a period of spiritual low because of the weakness of our flesh, because of the hostility of the evil one, and the temptations he set before us, the believers. And so from time to time, those who are in Christ, we have times of spiritual decline, times of spiritual low, times where we were discouraged. So I do not say that in order to justify these things or to give an excuse for our spiritual dwindling. But most of the time it happens. It does happen. Due to our neglect of being watchful in attending to the means of grace for our spiritual strengthening and growth. But whatever the case, such season of spiritual low or declension, we must acknowledge, do occur in the lives of Christians because of our faults, because of our weaknesses, because of our spiritual infirmities, because of our own doing, most of the time. It should not be an excuse, but we must recognize that it is a reality, because though we are regenerated by the Holy Spirit, there is still this old nature in us. There is still this old principle, this, you may call it the remnant corruption in us, striving to resurface and going against our new nature. And so here in this passage, we are given the way. There's a way out. There is a remedy to recover from our spiritual decline, to recover from a period of spiritual declension. Verse 12 says, "Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees." The writer has been speaking about chastisement in the preceding verses, verses 5 to 11. He is talking about the training school of God and how God trains his people and how he disciplines them for their good and to prepare them for eternity. So when the believer or the true believer slip away, backslide, live a life of disobedience, the believer ought to expect the rod of correction from the Lord Jesus Christ, just as a loving father would do to his wayward children, but more so, how much more from our heavenly, loving heavenly Father, who is infinitely holy and just. He will not allow his children, his blood-bought children, to remain in that state of spiritual low and continue to slide and decline. And so there is also, in the process of chastisement, there is a progression in discipline. If Christians take no heed of a gentle rebuke from the Lord, then the Lord may have to intensify that discipline, perhaps firmer and even painful discipline, in order to get our attention, in order to turn us back to God's way of holiness, of righteousness, and living a life that glorifies him. However, the writer right now turns to the avoidance of such discipline, or the writer is turning to the remedy, the ways how we ought to go about to avoid spiritual decline, to avoid spiritual low. Wherefore is spoken in the light of all these things. Lift up. Wherefore refers to what is said before concerning the chastisement. Wherefore, in the light of all these things, lift up the hands which hang down. Do not bring or do not allow, do not permit yourself to be in a state where the firmness of the Lord has to be exercised. A chastening of a firmer kind. Do not allow that. Wherefore, do not allow yourselves to go into that situation where the Lord has to chastise you. And verse 12 comes actually from Isaiah 35 verse 3 that says, strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. So you could translate this verse in Hebrews 12:12, which the writer, as I said, quoted from Isaiah. You can translate this verse as in the Greek, straighten up. It is there is an analogy here. But exactly what the writer is precisely referring to, we are not sure. It could be a war analogy or a competitive sport analogy, or perhaps something of both of these analogies. So the basic idea here is, as Christian believers, you are to be on guard. You are supposed to be poised and ready and not in a state, it's not in the sense of your physical person, but in your heart and in your soul, you are to be on guard. You are to be watchful. You are supposed to be poised and ready in your heart. The hands and the feet of your soul are totally loose and floppy. So it is the soul that the writer has in mind. Lift up the hands of your soul and the feeble knees of your soul. And of course, the mind is also involved. This is a picture of a spiritual low in the life of a believer. And here is a call, a command to take up your position for action, to return to your position of duty, because you are not ready, you are not participating, you are distracted, you are not engaging, and it is not possible for you to be ready for action if your spiritual hands and your knees are weak, floppy, and slack. And this is often the case for many Christians for various reasons, because we are so easily and so quickly defeated, so prone to wander, so prone to turn away from the Lord, so easily we are defeated in our daily spiritual battle. And this is an exhortation for the Christian believers, if you are truly one. And if you are going through a time of spiritual low, which, as I said, is not referring to your physical infirmity or weakness or impairment, but it is referring to your spiritual low, and therefore you are exhorted not to allow yourself to slide into that state or to continue to decline spiritually. You actually are able to at once get yourself out of that state. you are to immediately go into a time of prayer and ask God through His Holy Spirit to enable you to get back to your position and be at ready against the wiles of the devil. Brace the knees of your soul. Stand up and walk and act. This is not a harsh or nor severe exhortation. It is not difficult. Actually, it is immensely encouraging. Why? Because, as I said, the believer right now is brought to a realization that he or she can now, straight away, immediately receive help to get out of his or her spiritual low. You need not and you ought not to continue in that state because you can. According to the word here, you are able to, by the empowering of the Holy Spirit, by the help of God, to get out of it quickly. All is needed as the believer is given the necessary spiritual resources and weapons. All is needed is for the believers to immediately go on his or her knee to seek the Lord's help to change your mental and spiritual posture and intention. To ask the Holy Spirit to do that work in you, to give you the grace and the strength to return to your duty at once and get back on your feet, get back on track to fight your spiritual battle against the devil, the enemy of your soul and his temptations. Of course, we do know, and I'm sure you know, and we acknowledge that it is not easy, as easy as it seems. Nevertheless, it is possible. As the inspired writer is showing us here in God's word. Look at verse 12 again. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Very often when Christians go into a state of spiritual decline, they were inclined to think that it is impossible to get up. They will just continue to moan and groan and remain there. And they tell themselves that it will take a long time for me to recover, or it is no use now. I failed the Lord, so I cannot go on anymore. So it is better for me that I give it up altogether. Oh no, dear friends, beloved brethren, if you are a true believer, you can. You can. All is available to you. All the spiritual resources and privileges, means of grace, are available to you. And you can, by the enabling of the Holy Spirit, pick yourself up and immediately get back to your position to get on with your spiritual life of attending to God's word, of communion with the Lord Jesus Christ, of fellowship with the saints, and resolve to honor Him and asking His help each day to live lives that please Him and be concerned for fellow believers and the salvation of others, that you will be able, by the help of God the Holy Spirit, to get back into that state where you have concern and desire for the salvation of others, that you will continue to pursue after things of holiness and righteousness. You see, when it comes to spiritual malaise, brethren, the word of God tells us we can be restored and renewed at once, straight away, by the blessing of God, by the power of His mighty Holy Spirit. God will be with you. He will enable you. And so, Christian believers, you can in an instant get back on your spiritual feet and lift up your spiritual hands. Of course, there is the other part. First, we have so-called God's part in providing us all the spiritual or rather the remedies, the spiritual remedies, but we have our part. The other part is what we call human responsibility. You certainly cannot expect an immediate restoration or at once be renewed by doing nothing. Just sitting down there idle and continue in your mourning and groaning by doing what you are able to do, humanly able to do. You certainly cannot expect immediate restoration or renewal at once by doing nothing, by just sitting down. But you are to do what you are able, what you are humanly able to do as the Lord enables you. You cannot continue to be slothful, lazy, and to be indifferent and expect the Lord to grant you a parting of the Red Sea experience to inspire you. There's no such thing. Just as you see in the Old Testament, when the Lord blessed his people and provided for their needs, manna from heaven, what are they supposed to do? Are they supposed to sit in the tent, open their mouth, and then the heavenly manna will just fall into their mouth and then they will eat it and digest it? No. They are supposed to get out of their tent once every day or each day to take the required portion for them and for himself and for their family. And then on the sixth day, they are supposed to take two portions. So there is responsibility. Your spiritual low is perhaps the result of your neglect. It's your own fault because of your neglect in intake of scripture, because you slack, because you neglect daily prayer, because you neglect regular worship with God's people, you neglect family worship, you neglect Christian fellowship, you neglect all other spiritual duties like self-examination. You neglect repenting of your daily sin or to share the gospel with others. Your desires for that all is gone because you have weakened yourself, as I said before the last time in another sermon. You have weakened yourself spiritually by your neglect. Neglect to care for the needy saints, neglect to care for the weaker brethren. All these spiritual duties and exercises you neglected, you put it away. It resulted in your spiritual low. Perhaps also your spiritual low is due to many other things. Perhaps distraction, the TV, social media, your study, your work, your hobbies, your interests. It could also be unconfessed sin, an unforgiving spirit, envy, strife, fear, doubting, unbelief, and other causes. You allow yourself to go into that state. You dwell on all these things. And so gradually, you go into a spiritual decline. So first and foremost, each one of us, and for those of us who are going through this experience of spiritual decline and low, we have to first of all reflect and do a self-examination in the light of God's word and in prayer to seek the Lord to help us see and to ask God to convict us. What is the cause or what are the causes of my spiritual low and spiritual decline? And then we are to acknowledge where we have fallen short as the Holy Spirit through the word reveals to us and seek the Lord Jesus for forgiveness and ask for grace and strength to start afresh in your walk with him. Christian believers, have you forgotten that you are daily in spiritual battle? Do you not realize that you have a battle and in some extent battle with yourself, with the world, and with the evil one? Are you not forewarned in the Bible to be vigilant and watchful, to watch unto prayer? Why? because your adversary, the evil one, the devil, as a roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. 1 Peter 5:8. Yes, Satan will not be able to take away or remove our redemption or our salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. But nevertheless, he will certainly go all out to hinder our enjoyment of our walk with the Lord, will hinder our progress in spiritual maturity. He will go all out to do that, to slow us down, to hinder us, to discourage us, so that we will make little or no progress in our spiritual life. Dear friends, to be a Christian, it is no child play. It is no child play to be a Christian. We are not in a children's playground, but rather in the spiritual battleground each day of our life in this sin-drenched and sin-filled world as pilgrim. You will not be able to escape it. This is the reality. So unlike the non-believers, we have spiritual battles within and without, and therefore we have to be watchful, careful, vigilant. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. So then, the next thing we need to do is verse 13. And make straight paths for your feet. We have aims here. The writer is bringing out to us as Christian believers, you must have aims. You must have objectives. And this again, the writer is quoting from the Old Testament scriptures in Proverbs 23. I'd like you to very quickly turn to it. Proverbs 4, verse 23. Proverbs 4:23. Very quickly, I read to you. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thy eyes look right on. Let thy eyelids look straight before thee. Be focused, that is. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy feet from evil. And so, these verses in Proverbs throws or gives us great light in our understanding of the Hebrew passage. In Hebrews 12:13, some has translated it as make even paths. And the picture is to fill up or fill in all the potholes, all the gaps, all the crevices, all the pitfalls. Make sure you fill it up, cover it up. That's one translation. Whereas the writer of Hebrews has in mind is to make a straight path. And this translation is also correct. So actually, both translation is right and useful for our understanding, as the Greek has both in mind, has both sense in mind. The analogy here is to make a straight and even path or an even track so that you don't trip up, so that you maintain the correct direction and stay on course. So that you make sure you fill up all those gaps and all those crevices, all those potholes that will cause you to fall, and no detours. As Proverbs says, no turning to the left or to the right. Well, and we are to set and be focused on that path. So how can we apply this principle? It's not difficult to apply this principle, which is actually, as I said before, watch your lifestyle as a Christian. In simple terms, in summary, watch your lifestyle as a Christian. Which direction are you taking in your Christian walk? Is it one leg in the church and one leg in the world? What guide your thought life? Do you think biblically or you think like the rest of the people of the world? What governs or what principle governs your heart? Biblical principles or principles and philosophies of the world? Is your heart ruled by biblical principles, the law of God, the precepts of God, the statutes of God's truth? You have to make a straight path or an even track for your feet, for our life as a Christian believer. Your goals, your objectives in life, your perspective of life, your whole being as a believer, that goal must be to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. Is that how you want to live your life, Christian believers? Make straight paths. Involve your spiritual and your corporal life, meaning to say your physical life. Your spiritual life would be your plans or your objective for spiritual growth through the Word of God, prayer for yourself, prayer for others, seizing every opportunity to share the gospel with others, looking for or looking out for fellow believers who are in need of encouragement, to comfort them, to help them, to go alongside with them, to guide them. Reading spiritually edifying books and books that benefit your spiritual and mental well-being. Engaging yourself in any other spiritual exercises and activities or duties that glorify God and is a blessing to others. That's the spiritual aspect of your life. Your corporal life would be your plans or your aim to do well. Do well in your study if you are a student for the glory of God. Do well in your employment or in your business to glorify God, to show yourself that you are indeed, you can be trusted and that you are a responsible person in the work that is entrusted to you. You can be trusted to handle and manage your given work or project well and to do it well and to finish it well for the glory of God. So likewise, in your corporal life as a believer, you have family responsibility, you have your role, you are to fulfill your role responsibly and be a godly example to your spouse and to your children for the glory of God. So broadly speaking, this is what it means to make straight paths for your feet. These are some of the remedies I mentioned for recovery from spiritual decline, spiritual low. Make straight paths for your feet is contrary to having no aims, living an aimless life, no objective, no goals, just cruising along and go as the wind blows. And as the saying goes, an idle mind is the devil's workshop. And that is the sure way to spiritual decline and spiritual ruin. However, if you are a Christian believer and you allow yourself to slip into that condition of spiritual decline and remain there for a prolonged period and has no desire, no inclination at all to get out of it, then it is doubtful. It is doubtful whether that person has truly experienced the new birth in Christ through the regeneration of the Holy Spirit. Oh, dear friends and brethren, let each one of us search and examine our hearts once again. And then we look down in verse 13, in the last part. Lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. So the word there, be lame, can be translated as dislocated. And so this refers to our vulnerability. For some Christians, and in fact, every one of us, we are vulnerable to something. For some Christians, it could be wealth. They have this weakness in this area that they are easily tempted, perhaps due to their poor management of it. For others, it could be the pitfall and the potholes of fame, of recognition, a desire to be applauded and acknowledged. So make straight paths for your feet teaches us to make sure you watch. Don't waste your God-given time and opportunity. Make sure you fill up all the potholes, the crevices, and level up the track evenly and make sure it is straight so that you will not trip up and fall and dislocate your feet. Therefore, as you live your Christian life, your aim is to be sanctified, to be Christ-like, isn't it? Your objective and goal is spiritual maturity towards holiness and righteousness in Christ. And precautions must be taken. Watch, vigilant, be on guard, watch unto prayer. Because if we fall back into sin, then God in his holy love will not allow his children to stay in that spiritual low. He will then have to chastise us like what he has done in the preceding verses, in verses 5 to 11. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble feet, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame to turn out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Verse 14, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man can see the Lord. Firstly, here the teaching in verse 14 is peace with fellow believers, which is mentioned again in chapter 13, verse 1. Furthermore, it is also peace with unbelievers, not just with fellow believers, with unbelievers also. Peace with all men. Peace with all people. The Apostle Paul also in Romans 12, 18 says, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, meaning to say as much as depends upon you, live peaceably with all men. Romans 12, 18. The word follow, the word in Greek means pursue eagerly, pursue keenly, like a hunter. It speaks of a spirit of tenacious effort. It is to follow hard at it. We have to acknowledge that this is doing something which is often quite difficult for us, to follow peace with all men. As I said, the old nature is still in us, and the new nature is often striving. There is this battle which I spoke of the last time. And this is hard work. This is hard work. And you and I have to work at it. You have to maintain your guard, watch your lips, control your passion when things done to you are inflammatory or unreasonable. Here is a goal which is running away from you, as it will. You see, that is the sense of the word follow. It is hard work. It requires great effort. You need to pursue after it like a hunter going after the prey that is running away from you. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. As a Christian believer, you have to put on that posture. How to follow peace? You have to put on that posture of friendliness, sincerity, truthfulness, responsibility in your place of business, with your neighbors. Be helpful, be approachable, be patient. Just as God is long-suffering towards you and shows sympathy. In short, your Christian conduct and behavior each day, wherever you are and whatever you do, is consequential. is weighty because you are a representative of Christ, the Prince of Peace. Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you and pray for them which despisefully use you and persecute you. These are words from our Lord Jesus in his Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5. Remember, brethren, that you are representative of the gospel of Christ. And here we look further in verse 14, pursue or follow holiness. And so again, holiness is also running away from us. This particular form of word for holiness is used only about 10 times in the New Testament. And why I bring it up? Because this word holiness here in the Greek has a particular meaning. It is often translated as sanctification. And that helps. That gives us insight to help us in our understanding. It means inward moral purity. When the writer speaks of follow peace and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, the writer is referring to our inner moral condition. Not only our moral condition with regard to sexual matters, that we are clean in heart, clean and pure in thought, no sinful visualizing or fantasizing or any of that kind. Pursue purity in your heart, in every aspect of your life with integrity, Christian believers. Follow hard after holiness because the evil one will hinder your progress, will set up stumbling blocks to obstruct you, to slow you down in your pursuit. Therefore, seek strength from the Lord in your pursuit through the enabling of your Holy Spirit. Why? Because in and of yourself, you will not be able to do so. In the last part of this verse, there is a motivation intended for the believers. For the believers to strive hard or to pursue after a life of holiness, even now on this side of eternity. Why? Because without holiness, no one will be able to appear before Christ at his judgment seat. Therefore, if you desire to see the Lord Jesus, to look at his face, to see him face to face, to see his blessed face on that day, on that final day, the day of the Lord, and to receive his commendation, then you as Christian believers must start now. Pursue hard after holiness. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Dear friends, beloved, this is a brief consideration from this text, how we ought to deal and to get out of our low state of spiritual love, a low state of spiritual fervor, a low state of spiritual service. And this we have given here, the remedies, so that we may speedily recover, remedied by the blessing of God through the means of grace that he has already given to us. And this is how we are to do it. Here also, in this passage, is the duty of peace with the world, people of the world, with unbelievers, how we ought to conduct ourselves and to pursue after peace and holiness, and the necessity for inward purity, so that we can, indeed, in confidence on that final day, stand before Christ to see the Lord. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Gracious, mighty God, eternal, loving Father, we give thanks to Thee for this instruction, this exaltation, these remedies that You have already provided for us in Your Word. But so often, Lord, we neglect, so often we do not consider it carefully, so often, O Lord, we overlook such teachings, such encouragement that You have already given to us in Your Word. And oftentimes, because of our neglect, of our spiritual infirmities, and being distracted, and being drawn away by the things of the world, we missed, we could not see the remedies and the help and all the spiritual resources that You have given us for our spiritual life in this sin-cursed world. Forgive us, we pray. Cleanse us once again, Lord, by Thy shed blood. Sanctify us anew by Your Holy Spirit. And help us, grant us wisdom, Your grace, the empowering of Your Holy Spirit in this new week, that we may live our lives that will glorify Thy holy name, that truly others may see Christ in us, bearing in mind that we are Thy representative. We are the representative of Your gospel. And so, Father, help us to walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, seeing the days are evil, and seeing that Your coming is drawing near. So in this new week, go before us and go with us. Bless Thy people with Your peace and Your joy, the comfort of the Holy Spirit. And indeed, Lord, once again we pray that Thou will grant us much wisdom and help us to be watchful, to be vigilant, to watch unto prayer. Help us, O Lord, to remember we are in a spiritual battleground. And we thank Thee, Heavenly Father, that in and through Christ, we are on the victor's side. So we praise and thank Thee and bless Thee, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And dismiss us, Lord, with Thy blessing. Hear this our prayer. In Jesus' name. Amen.